Hi, Roger. Oh, hi, Karen. Let's see. I can't hear you.
There. Now, can you hear me?
Oh, now I'm here, Karen.
Okay. Sorry about that. I had me muted.
That's okay. How are you?
Oh, good. I had a great day golfing today.
I felt like I'd seen you today, maybe.
So it looks like we got Roger too, huh?
Well, hi you guys. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you doing, Roger?
Doing well. Happy New Year to everybody.
You too. Thank you.
That'll be fun if you actually have some rounds revenue in January, won't it, Tyler?
Yeah, I'm hoping we get a few players out. I don't I'm trying to be optimistic about it.
I guess the frozen tundra is still a little too frozen, isn't it?
It is. It's pretty hard. Karen can attest to that better than I can, but it was pretty firm out. I hit a few chips and putts on the putting green earlier today just to see. And it not only felt like concrete, it sounded like concrete.
Yeah. I'm afraid it might take a trip down to Arizona to really enjoy it right now. So,
Yeah.
Be careful of that. They've just been ranked the highest for COVID.
yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, that is a setback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping this won't take too long. We'll just have to. Oh, let's see. Andrew's trying to get in. Hi, Andrea. Hopefully, you can hear us. Looking forward to an exhilarating golf committee meeting here. Thanks for joining. See, we got a few more. We'll give them. Oh, we got a few minutes, I guess. Roger, you headed out anywhere in the next little while?
I'm headed to Orlando in 2 weeks. They're doing the PGA show and convention virtually, but I'm heading back there myself. We're doing a lot of things live, but everybody else has to tune in virtually, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I saw that in the post. I wonder, I'm interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, they're having the teaching and coaching summit completely via Zoom, and it'll be really interesting. As long as they have good camera work, I think it'll turn out just fine.
Yeah.
As long as you can see what they're talking about, that'll be shouldn't be too much different than being there in person, other than you don't have to pay for a hotel room for 5 days, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I wish I needed some MSR credits too. I'd be more apt to sit in and watch some of them.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
capped out.
Have you ever been back to the PGA Teaching and Coaching Summit, Tyler?
No, certainly. I'd like to go one day.
Well, maybe when the COVID-19 subsides, that'd be a good thing. It's a good thing to do in January is go back and go to the Teaching and Coaching Summit and meet with all the vendors and maybe discover a few companies that you've never heard of before and their products. So,
Yeah, I think
yeah.
that's the biggest thing I've missed out on. I mean, we do the one here that I've gone to for years, but
Yeah, it's on a whole different scope and level back there.
yeah, I think it would have been this year. I would have probably made because my wife and I are going to Orlando. We're leaving Sunday till Thursday. I think if they would actually had stuff, we may have moved things around to where I could have gone a couple of days and then she could have flown out and gone.
Yeah.
Even when our daughter's a little older.
Yeah, Orlando's a great getaway when the kids are a little bit older. That's a fun place with both Disney World and Universal Studios are both a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've never been, so I'm excited to not only that, get a little warmer weather.
Yeah, and the golf is excellent too, I might add.
Yeah, I've sent a couple emails to two of the Disney World courses, but I'm not taking my clubs, and my wife's not a. It's I tried to get her a spa morning.
Yeah, well, it's probably good not to take your clubs this time around. The plus the courses right at Disney World, believe it or not, are not very good. They're not the best courses there. But the one to play is Orange County National,
okay,
which is just a 5-iron away from Disney World. But it's a great guy. That's where they have PGA Tour qualifying school all the time and things like that.
Hi, John.
John, how are you?
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to all of you. Everybody looks the same as last year, though. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody underwent a New Year makeover or anything, did they?
Right.
Although it looks like you got a haircut, John, did you?
No, I'm always pretty short like this, so I need one.
I hear you there. I hear you. Yeah. Have you been playing golf, John?
In Park City. The snow isn't half bad. We were actually at Park City Resort today, and you know it's better than you would expect since we've had so little, especially Park City here compared to Alta.
Yeah, I heard the main runs where they've been able to make man-made snow are actually pretty good. So.
Yeah. I mean, the little bit of natural snow on top of the man-made has really made it pretty nice.
Yeah. So there's a good base, huh?
Yeah, the base is good. The trouble is both Deer Valley and Park City only have about half their mountain open.
Yeah. Well, half good isn't half bad right now.
Right. Yeah, there's Ken out in the golf course. He must be in Scottsdale or someplace.
Yeah, Ken, it looks like you're in a tropical paradise there.
You are muted there, Ken.
Thank you.
There you go.
So that's Eaglewood in the spring this year. So.
Wow. It looks so nice and green.
Beautiful place. How's everybody?
Great. How's the new year treating you? Okay.
Yeah, I can't complain. Yeah, we're doing better than the folks in DC right now, so that's good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Although, be careful. You know, even the slightest thing can cause rioting in this day and age. You know. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, did anybody come to protest at City Hall today?
No. Yeah. I know how to incite a riot in North Salt Lake though. All I have to do is just say we're gonna meet to talk about Great Life and I'll fill the room.
Yes, you will.
I learned that lesson already.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, we're all very happy we didn't march down that road, aren't we?
Yes. I think we are. I think it turned out very well, Ken.
Yep, me too.
It looks like we're just waiting on court. We'll give them a couple minutes.
Looks like Brian is convalescing.
I actually am.
Uh-oh.
I've been, I went to work today, but I've been laid up for about a month. Yeah. And so Ken's been so hard on me the last 6 months, I guess.
I was so rude. I never even texted you and said, "Hey, how you feeling?" You know, your wife told me you were sick and everything, and I just didn't even
All I, my really, my only symptom is cough.
Oh,
it just well, cough.
That can be a hard one.
Yeah. But there's a couple of positives to it all. I'm not a great sleeper these days. And if after you cough all day, you sleep like a baby. Well, I've been getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep. And then I lost 10 pounds over Christmas. So that never happens. So,
I
know where they went. So you don't worry. I know exactly.
They're not lost.
Just before anyway. I got here, I had a piece of chocolate. So,
yeah, I will stay on mute so that I don't cough too much. And then when I need to say something, I'll jump off.
Do you have COVID?
I tested negative for COVID.
Okay.
So I don't even know. I was kind of disappointed at that point because I thought I'd had it for a couple of weeks. I thought, well, at least if I've got COVID, I got that over with. But it was negative.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody for coming. We've got a few things to go through. The agenda seems long, but some of this stuff we'll get through pretty quick. Not much has happened since our last meeting with November and December, but I have a few things to just bring to you and numbers and things we're going to be working on this winter until we get back open and really going. At the end, we'll have some time for some questions and comments, but I'm happy to stop at any point for you guys to ask me a question or have some insight or opinion. So, John, do you have anything to add before we get going?
No, I think, Tyler, you got the agenda, so just go ahead with it.
Okay. I'm going to share my screen with you guys here. Everybody see that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to give you a little breakdown on where we were at for November and December. I know I gave you an email at the end of November on these numbers, so you're probably familiar with those, but just a little bit on December. Not huge money makers for the golf course. We were open quite a bit in November, and in the first week of December, we're still fairly busy. You can kind of see it compared to last year, we did quite a bit more, especially in November, but even percentage-wise, how much more we did in December. We did a lot of promotions, a lot of discounted merchandise, tried to get some of that stuff cleared out. We did have, this would have been in November, but we had all of our merchandise credit from Men's Association and tournaments expire on November 15th. And we still had a few stragglers that I let redeem them in December, but maybe we'll go over that in February. But we have about it's about $19,500 on our books that technically is expired that will be straight profit out of the merchandise budget. So we'll maybe have some discussion on that as we get into February. And I guess that's more discussion maybe with Janice, having her transfer that to revenue. But just so you guys are aware of that, that's part of the reason why some of these numbers are a little bit higher. If you look at the five-year average, we're still quite a bit ahead of even that five-year average on these months. In total, so if you take the fiscal year from June or from July 1st to really December 31st, comparing last year, what's $563,000, and then where we're at from July until now, we're a little over $1 million. And I want to make a note of this. This is just golf course revenue. This doesn't include any of the facility rents or banquet center or cafe sales. This is strictly just golf revenue. So green fees, cart fees, merchandise. So it's a big jump. I mean, we're ahead $440,000 over the same date last year. So we hopefully get that going. If you look, I think I've got it on this next page. But if you think back to all of 2020, so kind of taking that the fiscal year out, if you look at 2020 revenue, we were at $1.4 million, which I thought is really probably incredible with COVID and the golf course really not going until May. So I think we can get over that and we'll get to some goals that I've got for this year and hopefully surpass that amount. I just want to give you a kind of an outlook on where we're at expenses wise end of December. We've got on the left side expenses, I've got it broken down by pro shop and maintenance. This includes everything from wages to advertising. Total right now, it's a little bit higher because we just have pay period right now. That'll be our biggest expense, but I just did it through December. So as of December 31st, $616,000 in total budgeted $1.4 million. So I feel like we're in pretty good shape. We'll run through quite a bit of a full-time employee wage really while we're not open. But I think we're in good shape to, I'm hoping to keep us under or close to $1.3 million on expenses. There'll be some bigger purchases I'll get into in a minute on really just updating the interior of the building and a few things there, but biggest expenses are still gonna be wages and benefits for employees.
Tyler, do you mind if I ask you a question about that? Uh-huh. So is this a look at the fiscal year? So from July 1st to December 31st?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So that's taking everything that is on any details or any transaction that Janice has input into Casell. That's where I got that number from. So that should be
great.
Very accurate.
Thanks.
And hopefully you guys still have that link that I sent to you. It's probably been a few months ago on all the maintenance expenses. And I've got a pro shop expenses, Google document that I've been inputting stuff every month. So you can see exactly what's spent and how much is spent and where. So if any of you have lost that link and want it again, feel free to email me and I'll shoot that over to you so you can peruse it as little as you like, I guess. I just want to touch on our advertising and marketing budget. What we've spent so far is just a little over $8,000. The budget for it is $40,000. So that's, we have a considerable amount on that line item still to spend for next year. I wasn't too aggressive in July and August with advertising, but I started to ramp it up really maybe towards the middle of August and September. I don't plan on using all of this. I plan on using it what I have well, and we'll do quite a bit of marketing, social media advertising that doesn't cost a lot of money, but that will be beneficial to us. We'll continue to do the same things we're doing with digital billboards, some Google advertising, Facebook and Instagram advertising as well. But I'll probably look at expanding those. Right now, I really was just focusing on the event center and golf in general, so getting people to come play golf, but we'll have some targeted advertising towards corporate, either memberships, corporate tournaments, really probably some more on events there and put some money there, and targeting some men's and seniors to come play along with ladies. So we'll kind of do some more targeted rather than general advertising and really start to get people. I don't know if anybody else, but if you're online and you're searching for golf and we can find those people that are wanting to play. It's just a matter of how much money we want to spend. We've got some there. Something we did in December, which I thought turned out really well, is we offered kind of a stocking stuffer, a little giveaway on Facebook and Instagram for entered into a drawing if you left a Google review. And I want to say thanks to those that left a review for us that are on golf committee. We had 185 new Google reviews. And that might not be much in the grand scheme, but in total, I think it brought us up to 551 Google reviews. I think 10 of the 185 were 4-star reviews, and then the remaining 175 were 5-star reviews. We had nothing less than that. So that really bumped us up. When I started in June, we were at 4.4 on Google, now we're at 4.6. And I'm the type of generation that I think a lot of golfers are now, where if they haven't played somewhere, they want to go somewhere, you're searching and you're going to one of the better places. So I think that makes a difference for us. I really want to count Bountiful Ridge and maybe overtake them, but I was pleased to see we're ahead of some of the other local golf courses. We'll keep we'll do some more promotions throughout the year, similar to that. And really maybe even individual targeting, asking people as they finish playing through the 4UP marketing software, automated message to them that sends them right to Google Reviews so they can leave them for us. This is something I've been working on. I'm probably going to send this out middle of the month or even first of February to a lot of local businesses. And we'll even do some on social media, and I might even do some Google advertising to get some. We're looking for some sponsors, major sponsors for tournaments, driving range. This is kind of wordy, but this is what I sent out with all of our tournament packets. So we just sent out a brochure packet and mailed it to all potential tournaments. And we included this in there to try to get some sponsorships for our other tournaments. We've got some feedback from some of them. We've got one, Rockstar Energy, that did some last year. They're interested in doing some more. So if any of you have any ideas of companies or individuals or anybody that would make me interested, or feel free to pass their information along to them, like contact them. I know we have a lot of businesses, especially out in Foxborough in the north end of town, that I probably got a dozen phone calls on people wanting to do some advertising. So I think we're in an area that where we can capitalize on having that really be beneficial for all of us. The one that I really want to work on in the next couple of years are the permanent T-post signs that we have on the start of each hole. The purpose of that, when they initially put them in, was to sell advertisements, and it's really not been done or changed out ever since, well, probably last 6 or 7 years. So we can kind of rotate those in there and get people encouraged to renew those every year. That's just another source of income for us. Just some of my goals for this year. These are kind of major overarching goals for the golf course. 65,000 rounds, $1.5 million revenue, 4.8 on Google, 45 corporate tournaments, which is really close to the average, but I didn't want to create a goal that was too far out with corporate tournaments, not knowing where we would be at for the first of the year. Increased merchandise sales and increased driving range revenue. And there's some little bullet points with that as well. I think these are all achievable goals, and they're timely within the year. So we'll have some other minor goals and other things that we're going to do to achieve those things. But for the most part, those I think will help generate the revenue for the golf course. Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Just a question. Are you getting some interest from, are people contacting you yet to book tournaments in 2021?
Yeah. So I've got Brent and John, they've reached out to all of our tournaments that we had last year and even the previous year. I've got some online packets for them and online registration for tournaments. We've only got a few back, but I've got John and Brent really checking in with them.
Good.
We've got quite a few emails, and I'm confident we'll get to that number. It's just a matter of.
I was just curious if companies are having tournaments. I know you guys are working hard to reach out.
Yeah.
I just was curious with the pandemic, if we're seeing less tournaments. I'm sure we are, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a case similar to this year, where the first part of the year we might not see any or very few. And as this vaccine gets rolled out more and we get more and more people comfortable gathering as groups, I think we'll see quite a bit in the fall. I'm hopeful we'll get some in the spring, but I would have thought we've gotten more registration and more signups, more commitments, I guess. We have people that say, yeah, this is my day and we're doing it. We probably have probably close to 15 or 20 of those, but they haven't submitted their deposit check yet. So until they do, I'm not counting them as both tournaments.
So. What restrictions are you operating under now, Tyler, when you try to book a corporate event? Because you can't do a normal event yet with the COVID-19 restrictions, correct?
Yeah, we're still... what Brent and John sent out is basically we're social distancing and masks. We haven't really placed any restrictions on yet because we don't have any really out till May. So we're hopeful that we don't have any by then. And if we do have some booked and we've got to change things around, then I think we'll probably start contacting them and arranging things differently in March or April. I didn't want to scare people away by telling them we've got to limit it to a certain amount of people or doing it that way, but we may have to end up doing it same thing we did this year. We may have to adjust and change some things.
I think you're on the right track because you need to send out all your materials now or even sooner, because otherwise you won't get in corporations' budgets to have a tournament. So now is the time. So I think you're right on track there.
Yeah. I want to have it in front of people. We've physically mailed out brochures to about 80 companies, and I want to do another 100 before probably the end of the month. Whether, you know, to me, if we spend a few $100, even $2,000 on sending material out and we get one tournament, and that's your profitable on what you spent to send out. So I won't hesitate at all spending some money to get out to people. And even if it's a company that doesn't want to have a tournament, but they want to do some advertising, those little type events will add up. So.
Yeah. And have you been able to coordinate with George on a food and beverage package for corporate outings and tournaments?
Yeah, I just put on our website today, they revamped their catering menu today. As far as any packages, no, I haven't really discussed any type of collaboration on anything like that, but I do have all their information for their catering.
That might lead into, how does the golf course and how does the city stand with George and Tanya at this time? Is it status quo or?
Tyler and I are putting together some proposed amendments to our agreement with George. And so we'll be finishing those up in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll be sitting down with them. I assume it'll take 2 or 3 meetings, but we're going to be making some changes to the contract.
That's great. That's great. What specifically are you looking to change contractually with him? I mean, obviously.
Well, I think the idea that is central to the biggest change, I think, would be trying to incentivize them to become a little bit more aggressive about holding events. And so one idea is to go to a straight rent contract with them, because they are just consistently not, they don't seem to want to expand their operation by hiring outside people. And so, for example, when they go on vacation, they just tell people, well, the event center is closed, and so we're not going to have events during these couple of weeks. I don't think that's a very acceptable way to do it. So, you know, we need to have that conversation with them. I don't want to enable that, but I think you guys know enough about the situation to know we've got to we've threatened to end their contract and get a different vendor. And so I think we have some leverage right at the moment. But
to your idea, Ken, of getting an independent contractor to just run the event center portion of the operation?
Well, I was just going to mention that that the way to really do this is to bring in someone who would run the events, and then George and Tanya would just run the food. So that's really where we're headed. And hopefully we'll be able to talk them into that. And then we'd put them on a straight lease payment. I'd like to figure out a way to incentivize them more on the food, but if we generate the kind of rounds that Tyler's goals indicate, I think, they'll have plenty of food business going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're on the right track, Ken. So
we hope so.
I vote for taking control of it, Ken.
Yeah, I know
you. You know how I feel about it, but I just a reminder.
I do. Thank you.
I think so. Yeah.
Unless you can control it, you can't control it.
That's right. You know, I think we know. We know a lot about where we've come from with those guys. So thank you for that.
And Tyler, just as a matter of clarification on the rounds played projections, just so there aren't any. Anyway, those are 9-hole equivalent rounds, correct? Not 18-hole, right?
Those are 9-hole equivalent rounds. So 65,000 9-hole rounds.
Just so some of the committee members don't see the revenue adding up for 65,000 18-hole rounds, that's actually 65,000 9-hole equivalents.
Okay.
Tyler, have you built in a price increase?
For rounds, for cart fees?
They'll just go, this coming spring, summer, raising up prices.
We haven't. I've kind of got a tentative schedule put together. My preference would be generally to do that this time of year, and where we just increase them in July. I know that other Bountiful Ridge, Davis Park, Valley View, I'm not sure about Lakeside, but I know those others are increasing their rates. And we'll kind of, my projection is to kind of stay ahead of them. We'll be the
leader
of the card, I guess, on that. I don't want to, I hesitate raising them again where we just rate those them in July. We'll look at doing green fees 1 year, cart fees another year, range another year. Really, once our cart lease is up here, we've got one more payment next August. Once that lease payment's up, next January, I'm looking at doing cart fee increases. I think that's our next area. But we are looking at getting rid of punch cards and rate discounts. That's kind of general direction everybody else is heading. And Bountiful Ridge, I've talked to them. I think this is their last year on doing punch cards, and then really looking at what they're offering as far as rates. Valley View is probably the spearhead with that. They want to go to one flat rate for everybody. And I could see the rest of Utah and the rest of golf kind of falling in that same direction. So I'll keep a close eye on that and make sure we're with them or ahead of them.
Was that your experience in Spanish Oaks, that they only raise rates every other year?
Yeah, it's generally green fees 1 year, and then cart fees another year. Range balls kind of mixed in between there.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're Spanish Oaks probably a little bit different than here. We tried, they were one of the lowest in the county. Hobble Creek was kind of the pusher there. East Bay was even a little ahead below them, but Flagstaff and Spanish Oaks, they were kind of middle of the pack on pricing. And ICS is more of the Hobble Creek type. We'll kind of push that revenue for everybody else. We're quite a bit ahead of everybody right now. I mean, as soon as they catch up, I think once this year, they'll still be a couple of dollars below us, and then we'll bump it up from there.
Okay.
If anybody else has any thoughts or ideas, I'm open to anything there too as well. There's just a little snapshot tournaments we have scheduled. These are in-house tournaments we'll be running. And then the leagues down at the bottom, what days we're having those. We're adding a senior association in the Tuesday. The really only reason we're doing that is our men's association was predominantly seniors. So we're trying to really create a separate group and a separate outing for them. Still keep them engaged with the men's association, but having them involved one more extra day at the golf course would hopefully bring extra revenue. Changing our little junior association from a mini tour, a little 3-hole event, to every other week in the summer, having them come out and play. This will be from probably 7 years old up to high school age. And then we have, I don't know if anybody heard of Spark Golf. They're out of Dallas, Texas, but they do some in-house marketing and tournament stuff that they run, and they partner with golf courses. They've reached out to us doing a Thursday evening league. So we're going to try that. They charge a fee, and then we take our, I think what we have contracted is $23 for nine, which is a couple dollars less than our regular rate, but they've guaranteed us a certain amount of players, and they do all the registration and linking. So I'm going to get some more information from them as we get closer to March. They're planning on doing it all year, March through, I believe, October. So that'll be another. Thursday nights are slow for us, so it's a good time for them to market for us and use their dollars. Scramble series. I don't know if anybody has any questions on these, but these are, I've got these on the UGA and PGA calendars for people to play in, and I'm excited about these. And I finished uploading all these to our website today. So if you have time to maybe look at those, you're welcome to.
Tyler, looking at that North Salt Lake Open on June 5th, would that be a UGA event or a PGA Utah Section event?
Both, yeah. So it'll be an affiliated open, so Utah Section members and then amateurs as well. I think I've got it for 96 players. We'll limit it to 36 pros and then the rest amateurs. It is the same day as the second day of the Salt Lake Open, but we're doing an afternoon tea times, and we'll certainly get enough professionals to hopefully get to fill up on the amateurs as well.
What would the format be on that North Salt Lake Open?
So we got just gross. We'll have two divisions for pros, the regular professionals and the senior professionals, and I've got three different flights broken down by index, and they'll be gross only. Payouts. So three flights gross only.
Have you done the analysis on that? What would your proposed entry fee be, and what would the ROI be? What would the return on investment be on something like that?
Yeah, so it's $100 per player. So we gross on the amateur players about $6,400. So you know, take your margins off the merchandise, you're a little over $3,200. We're hoping to get some added money. That's part of my advertising project, is to get added money into the amateur purse. The professionals, we won't make any money on, but hopefully they'll bring in some of their other players as well. I'm hoping around $5,000 is what we'll bring in for that day, which would be a pretty good Saturday in June, especially in the afternoon. You know, if you're looking at the whole day, probably not, but if you're looking from 2 till, close, that's a pretty good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you're on the right track with that. It sounds like a good situation.
Yeah, we went back and forth, and we actually have a corporate tournament that morning. So the golf course will be busy on June 5th. That'll be over a $10,000 day for sure.
Is that on a Saturday?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good, very good.
Sort of a dumb question. Is that a spectator deal? I mean, anytime you see, are spectators invited? Can they, or is that?
Yeah, we'll have some. I know we will. We'll have parents, and we'll have Fairway Medias up here doing some pictures, and some section members up here as well. And we'll have people walking around. We'll have some caddies. That will be our biggest, I don't want to say biggest event, but probably most sought after event for the year, most publicized event.
Well, I'd love to see some pros play the holes that I flub up on.
Yeah, we have some good ones in the Utah section, so there'll be some good scores.
Yeah, that'll give me some incentive. Anyway, good for you.
Yeah.
And Tyler, are you selling separate sponsorship packages for that event?
Yeah, so we've got the major sponsor for it, and then I'm selling full sponsors for those as well. So I think we've got $1,000 tournament sponsor, and then $350 for a whole sponsor, and we'll hopefully double up on some of those.
Sounds good.
My hope is to raise about $6,000 for that North Salt Lake Open.
Great.
I think it'll be doable. They're just some flyers. You can see all these on our website too, if you want to take the time, but they're just trying to get a head start on everything for the year. So in July and August, we're not having to scramble to get stuff put together. These are our scramble series ones as well. Some of you might ask, well, somebody had asked and want to know where we're at with the exterior remodel in the clubhouse. Ken and I met with JZW today on some of the interior work on the event center and what designs we can do there. They're projecting hopefully get us something back in the next 2 weeks. I hope in February to have something put together to show you guys. Obviously you've seen the exterior and the outside and know what we're planning on there, but just have something cohesive that matches what they've designed on the inside to then take to the city council and really look at what we're doing. When I talked to Matt in October and just kind of asked him on timeline, we'll probably have to start pushing for this and to get it approved by the end of February or middle of March, and then out to bid to get this done by next spring. So we're a little time crunch, but we'll get there. I think we're on a good track with JZW on them getting us designed by the end of the month and then kind of go from there.
Hey, Tyler Court, I thought we just gave them some things that they needed to work on for the exterior. Have we refined and made decisions on a new exterior at this point?
No, yeah, it's the same one. I just don't think they've got that put together. I think we picked the outside A and the patio on B. Okay. They probably have that done. I just haven't seen it. And then they're just doing some materials for the event center and really just changing a few of those things around like we talked about. But
will we get a chance to see the new redone exterior to make comments?
Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping that's what they will have done in the next couple of weeks and then bring to you guys in February.
Thank you.
Ken, does something need to be done with the clubhouse roof before the full exterior design, new design is implemented? Is the roof going to hold up for another year?
Yeah, I think Tyler could answer that better than I can because he's talked to a couple of roofers. So,
yeah, okay. So we had it patched in October, and that is a single season patch. So the roof needs to be replaced. We can obviously probably patch it again next fall, but my hope is that we can get started in the fall, and the roof probably be one of the first major projects done on the exterior. I don't know the process as far as doing fascia and soffit first or the patching and the roof comes last, but that certainly needs to be done before the snow flies, whether it's a patch or refinish.
Sounds good.
Our cost for the repair was $5,000. The estimated cost from the insurance company was a little under $100,000 for a full repair. So that another patch isn't going to break the bank, but I hate just throwing money away when it needs to be done. So my hope is to get it done this fall.
Okay.
Some winter project stuff that I'm working on. There's more than this, but really just refreshing the interior. I've got some light fixtures to go in. We're refinishing the counters and making it look just kind of fresh and clean. I don't want you to come in here and use your fine eyes, but if you were to kind of look around, there's just things need to be refinished, repainted, get kind of a fresh look in the pro, even on the interior. I know we're not working on the exterior, but I want to have something that looks nice on the inside. The AV work show and tell, they're coming on January 18th to start on the audio system. They said it shouldn't take more than a week, so hopefully we have that up by the end of the month. Weston and I and Nick are working on building and making some new T-markers. We've ordered some new flags, getting some pricing on. We need new exterior garbage cans, looking at just a few amenities for the golf course. I think I've got that on the next slide. Any questions on any of those? Okay, yeah.
What will the new T-markers look like? Oh, there they are right there.
So it'll be fairly similar to that. We might paint more than stain, so that the paint area might be a little bit wider and then the stain area smaller. we haven't messed. We've got some materials and equipment to do it. We just haven't started yet. Planning on doing that 1st of February, that first week. If you look, so that mock-up right there, we searched and searched and searched. That one material piece right there, one end, not even a pair, was $55 each. So if you're looking at one set of key markers, you're over $100. We figured we could make it for about $3. So we're going to spend some time in making it and looking nice. Ours that we have now are the cheapest option that you can buy as far as a golf tee marker. They're $4 each. Buy them from Parade. I just don't think they give a good look to the golf course. They're okay when they get stolen, which is okay, but easy to replace. But I want just a little bit more refined look, and that's kind of what we've decided and gone with.
It looks good, simple and inexpensive. That's good. How many of those garbage cans are you putting in?
I'm thinking about 5, and they're $825 each. So they're expensive, but they're, if you look at, exterior garbage cans are expensive anyway. So that's kind of middle of the road, and I think they'll have a nice look to them. I'm getting 2 bids right now. RHI Golf out of Idaho, that's who built this one here. That's the 825, and I'm waiting on the company out of Spanish Fork that does welding and fabricating. They're supposed to give me a price this week.
Are those the 75-gallon garbage cans?
These ones are the 50, 825 are the 50-gallon cans.
Okay.
You can't see it on this picture, but on the side, it has a slide out that you can pull that can out.
Tyler, this is John. Can we get the Eaglewood logo on there?
Yeah, that's just a mock-up. Ours would have either Eaglewood, the full logo, or just the eagle on there. We would,
instead of that leaf, it'll have the Eaglewood logo on there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll look nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds good. What about, how do you feel about those baskets on the ball washers, or a little basket garbage can on each tee box?
Yeah. No, we'll have them we'll have the ball washers and baskets out hopefully this year by the tee signs. Weston is supposed to be refinishing all the garbage cans now, repainting and refreshing those. Are you talking more right on the tee box for stand and seat, or?
Well, you know how you usually drive up to the tee box and you have some cans or bottles or whatever to throw away, and then it's usually attached to the ball washer so that you kind of kill two birds with one stone.
So that's what he's refinishing right now.
Okay.
We have them. They just didn't put them out for COVID reasons, and then I think by the time we could have put them out, we just thought it'd be better just to leave them in. We did have some garbage cans out, just not with the ball washers.
Right. And on the tee markers, is he stenciling a little, is he spray painting a little Eaglewood logo on the tops of those, or just leaving them colors to identify which tee box?
So I bought a wood burning iron, branding iron. I'm not sure what the wording is. We bought it with our logo on it. So we'll put some stamps on, we're not sure where. We've talked about doing it on the top. Talked about doing on the side.
On our chest.
Yeah, we could do our chest.
On our chest.
Yeah.
Everyone on the golf committee gets branded.
Yeah.
It'll be hot. It's one of the plug-in. It's not one you use with the flamethrower. It's one you plug in, so it's going to be warm.
Yeah.
We're doing, at the same time, we're building some new range dividers for the driving range. So there'll be kind of nicer looking 4x4 posts, where we've talked about painting them, we've talked about staining them. I think we're going to try a few different things. We'll do that iron branding on them too. I just think things like that that are minimal cost. I think the range dividers, we estimated about $250 for those. And you look at the green ones that are out there now, and they cost about $45 each. So we'll make something nicer that will last and look good for a couple of years. We'll have to frequently, every other year or every year, paint and restain them, but it'll add something to the driving range.
Then we can charge more.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and I think that's that's one of our, I think next spring or next winter, really, that'll be the next one we're going to look at, expanding what we're charging on the driving range and adding amenities in there, like the bag stands here. Those are going to cost a lot of money, but I think that will bring people to practice. The more people you get to practice at your golf course, the more people are going to play. That's just a general, and if we become the place to come practice, more people will play. So having good amenities helps with that.
Yeah, that's great. And then some of these are projects that Weston is able to do during the winter, as well as his normal maintenance on all of the mowers and equipment, right?
Yeah. We've got both the fleet mechanics are doing maintenance on the equipment and golf carts right now. I hope to have that done probably by the end of February.
Great. Sounds great. Yeah,
Weston and Nick are really off from now until the end of the month. I'm trying to burn through their comp time, Brent as well. So, we've got some projects starting February 1st. It may just be Weston and I, but we'll get some stuff going. Oh, new flags too. Sorry, I just saw the picture. We're getting some new, I don't know if the picture does these justice. They're pretty nice. They're swallowtail flags. We're getting some new posts, and these aren't, these are just yearly things we have to buy. This isn't anything that I'm adding to our budget. We needed new flags and we needed new flag sticks, so we're kind of updating them, and they didn't cost us any more than doing what we've traditionally done. So I think it will add a little bit of flair to the golf course. Nobody else that I know of around here has swallowtail flags, and they cost us the same. So
great.
And that's all I had. Hopefully that covers anything or everything you were looking for this meeting, but I'm happy to answer any questions, or if you have any comments on any of that stuff we went through.
I've got a question. I'm showing my golf ignorance, I guess. What does the yellow flag symbolize?
So that will be our tournament flag. So our general clay flags will be red as the front, white as the middle, blue as the back. And then for our travel tournaments, or like the North Salt Lake Open, best ball, we'll throw in that yellow flag as our tournament flag.
Oh, okay.
It adds a little bit. I'll print out pin sheets, which show people where the flag is on that green, and make it a little bit more PGA Tour style event.
Tyler, how many full-time employees stay throughout the winter, just as a matter of curiosity?
Up here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously yourself and who else?
So our full-time, we've got John, Brent, and I, and then Weston and Nick, but I'm the only one really working.
Okay.
Everybody else has comp time to burn through, so I've kept them off really. They worked a little bit in December, but for the most part, it's been since the week before Christmas, and I'll have them off through most of January. Brent, probably just a little bit longer. He has a lot of time to burn through.
Okay, so who's assisting you really as far as selling some of these corporate outings and promoting tournaments and outings, and also sponsorships? Who's helping you?
Yeah, Brent and John, I've had them in probably a couple hours a week to check their emails, and they're still doing emails and stuff from home and checking with people. But
so they've been contacting, and you know, they've been the kind of maintaining the continuity between everybody who's done a tournament or an outing in the past, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, I they had the relationships and they know the people. I thought it would be better for them to make sure that they're keeping in constant contact with them throughout this winter and spring to make sure they're clear on dates.
And then are you focusing more on new business, so to speak, yourself?
Yeah. Yep.
Sounds good. Okay.
Hey, Tyler, you mentioned utilizing Thursday nights as a slower time. What are the other non-peak times during the week, and what are the opportunities there to increase business?
Yeah, it's Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, ironically, and those are the 3 days we have our association. So really just growing those organically through, offering different discounts for, we ran one a little bit towards the end of last year, is if you bring a new men's association member and they sign up and pay their dues, then you get your round that day for free. We'll continue to do that with men's and seniors and really push people to do that so we can get some more people through friendships and other golf courses they play together. And then I'm really going to push for a lot of South Davis County and North Salt Lake. Salt Lake, north side of Salt Lake, people to come up here and play and join. I really think that Thursday Spark Golf League will generate us more men's association members. That's really my hope. I'm not seeing that as a growth measure. I don't know. They may start with 30 players and grow to 60, 70 players. But I certainly think we can get some of those people that are playing in that to join other associations and hopefully grow Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I mean, our busiest day should be the day we have men's association. So whether it's Monday, whether it's Tuesday, whether it's Friday, that should be our busiest day. So it's kind of a sticky situation because Bountiful Ridge has men's on, Lakeside, Bountiful Ridge have men's on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's hard to do on Friday, and it's hard to do those days that they have theirs. But I really hope we can grow Monday to be our busiest day with men's, because that's historically Sunday and Monday in Utah are slow golf days. So if we can get that and then push public play to other days, that's hopefully good.
Yeah, so I think with the men's association, there's a huge opportunity for whoever the food vendor is to really make that more of an event. I know the 2 years that I played in the men's association, it really just felt like any normal golf experience at Eaglewood, except I logged the score and then I got an email with an update. And I think that's great for the guys, like Bob and things like that, that, they live and die with that league. But for other folks, I think it's, we're looking for a social experience.
Absolutely.
And sometime a partnership where, hey, Mondays I go play however many holes and that's where I grab dinner. And, as the fall comes in, that's where you watch Monday Night Football or whatever. I think there's opportunity there to sort of create that camaraderie.
That's a great thought. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ryan. The other thing that we might take advantage of are some more family situations where even if it's only a six-hole or a nine-hole little golf scramble, and then you do a pizza party and maybe even show a movie afterward in the event center. This would, of course, be post-COVID-19, but there are some great food and beverage opportunities there. And you're also, as you said, Ryan, it's more of a social situation, more of a family thing, but those become real revenue producers too, because then you find all different members of the family coming back to play golf on their own later if they feel like it's a really comfortable, welcoming atmosphere too. So.
And I know I think I've mentioned this to a few golf commentators, and I know I've talked about it with Ken, but I haven't recently, but in September and October, I was looking at doing a family movie night on the driving range. We have power out there. The city has contracts to be able to use movies in a gathering. All I've got to do is buy a screen and some speakers and promote, hey, come up and watch a movie at Eaglewood and set it up on the east side of the bench there on the driving range. And whether we have people bring their own chairs and blankets or whatever, or we set out some golf carts and offer a little premium packages, hey, you get dinner over here and you get to sit in your golf cart. And there's just so many things, like even those that you guys mentioned, as far as just doing little, I would call them community events to get people up here to the golf course. Whether they're playing golf or not, we need to get people up here. I bought some chairs from a lady in North Salt Lake a few days ago, and I told her, yeah, they're up here. I'm getting them for the golf course in North Salt Lake. And she says, oh, is that the one just down the road? Talking about Lakeside, she had no idea there was a golf course in North Salt Lake. She had no idea what Eaglewood was. And she might not be a golfer, but I want everybody in North Salt Lake to know that there's either an event center here or a golf course here, or yeah, we went to Liberty Fest up at the golf course, and I want it to be known as the golf course, Eaglewood, not just, oh, there's a park up there or something. I don't know what it is. We walk on it with our dog. I don't know, you know? So
yeah.
Anyway, that was a little rant that I had, but.
No, I mean, there is revenue opportunity there. Avenues, the neighborhood does something similar where, you know, in the summer, every other Friday night, they have a movie night with the inflatable screen, and Avenues proper across the street, the patio is packed, and the ice cream shop next door is packed, and you'd have very similar volume there if you, you know, if you provided the food accordingly.
Yeah.
And if you put the fireplace on the patio, we can do s'mores.
Yeah.
There you go.
What, Tyler, you mentioned the pro shop in terms of, and you just had a note there, higher margin and maybe some lower cost items. What changes do you see for the pro shop in 2021?
Yeah, so I've pre-ordered a lot of our merchandise and some of it's already in. Just for an example, our ladies gear, predominantly Under Armour, predominantly FootJoy, full price purchased items, that really just have sat. I'll have to discount them below cost to get those out. You know, but for example, you get an outerwear piece for FootJoy and your cost is $65 and you have to sell it for $120. There's not many people that will come buy a $120 outerwear piece. You know, through my contacts and people I know, I've ordered some nice, they're Annika Sorenstam Cutter and Buck materials outerwear that I think my cost was $13 each and I'm going to sell it for $60. And then if I have to discount it to $30, I still make Keystone on that. So that's just an example on the type of, we're buying lower cost materials that are still nice, that still will sell, but we're going to make a bigger profit of and sell more of. You know, I'll sell 3-to-1 on those Annika Sorenstam outerwear pieces as I will the FootJoy stuff, and I'll make just as much money on one piece as I were to make on one of the FootJoy. So I'll spend less money in merchandise, but I'll hopefully make higher margins on those pieces that we have in there, and then not have, you know, $3,000 of ladies outerwear sitting in the pro shop in January. If I have $500, that's great. If I spend $1,500, I've got $750 left in here rather than $3,000. So anyways, just an example. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good merchandising plan, Tyler. It also doesn't do any good to carry exactly the same merchandise that you went to golf and everybody carries, because you won't make any margin at all, and you won't be able to do the volume to compete with them. So if you can find things that are unique to Eaglewood, you know, that'll be a real drawing card. So,
yeah, and you know, most vendors are pretty good. You just have to ask them. But you know, even for our hard goods, it's negotiating with those guys on, yeah, I want to bring in 2 drivers this year, but I want one of them to be at a demo price. So instead of spending $400 cost on 2 drivers, $800, I've got 1 at regular price and 1 at demo price. Now I've got 2 drivers at $340 a piece. So I'm saving,
right,
you know, 68. So just little things like that, that I don't necessarily know had been done, but I'm pushing for. And those are our partners. They want our business. It's not the other way around. So.
Yeah. And really, and when the supply chain is restored after COVID-19, you know, if you just have a couple of drivers in stock, you know, you can order and have them delivered very quickly as people need them, rather than, you know, committing to a dozen or 2 dozen drivers, and then at the end of the year you have to close them out at a loss. So,
yep. Yeah. Yep. And the vendors we do order more from, I made sure they take them back, so they'll do a credit and return. So just, there's lots of little things you can do to help yourself. You just have to be on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Sounds like you're on the right track.
Any lessons learned on the gift card? I noticed you had a note in there. It looks like that was maybe a first year of doing that. Any lessons learned for next year or throughout the year?
Yeah, I think we'll do some different promotions on those. I was pretty pleased on, you know, sold almost $5,000 worth of gift cards in the month of December. To me, that was pretty good. We had quite a few online, which helps with not having this be staffed all the time and people can buy them whenever. They hadn't done that before. And I would say 75% of the gift cards sold were online e-gift cards.
Any opportunities as you think of 2021 for off season? This season, obviously there won't be much, but are there any winter opportunities or is a lot of that still a ways off?
As far as the facilities here?
Just revenue generating when there's snow on the ground or, you know, I know we're open today, but I can't imagine there's a lot of people up there.
No, I had 4 people all day, which, you know, made $80, it adds up, but. Yeah, you know, I'd still like to look at doing some sort of simulator and growth that way. You know, we still have the downstairs offices that are vacant and hard to rent. Yeah, there's certain things we could do. I've talked with George and Tanya on making sure, you know, they kind of see this time as their off time too, which to me is an opportunity for them to, like we talked about before, Sunshine Cafe is packed Friday, Saturday, Sunday mornings. Why not offer something on the weekends at least? So there's things like that. I think we can get people up here. You know, Ken and I have talked about what do we do with this front office that's the Schmutz that are really part of the golf course, but kind of in the way. And what do we utilize that for? And I think there's some opportunities to create some revenue in the winter.
Tyler, you mentioned the committee could help, you know, find sponsors and so forth. Anything else that you would like the committee to do over the winter here?
If I talked to Karen, if maybe we can plan a date to paint, I'm happy to buy all supplies. And if anybody else is willing, we'll try a social distance. But I'm having a company come in and pay the main big hallway in there only because I don't have them. Scaffolding or anything to reach up there to paint, but the pro shop area, we could probably use a few hands to help us paint interior. And if anybody's willing to get their hands dirty on woodworking, I'm sure Weston and I would appreciate some help cutting 400 pieces of T markers up. So really, those are the only things initially that have come to mind, but I'm sure I can ponder on some other things that maybe you guys would be willing to help with. I can send out an email and ask for some assistance.
All right, that would be great. And, you know, let us know when you're going to do the painting.
Okay. Perfect. Let me get out of here.
Well, should we adjourn, John?
I was just going to ask if anybody else has anything for the good of the order. If not, we would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I would make the motion to adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah,
going forward, we're the second Wednesday of the month, is that right?
Yes, yep.
Okay, this was the first, but going forward, it'll be the second Wednesday every
year. Yeah, yep.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Good night.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for your input.
Andrea, thanks. I know you're not on anymore, but recording, I'll stop it and you're out of here.